Researchers have extracted the oldest known human DNA dating back more than 300,000 years from a fossilized thigh bone found in Spain. The discovery is revealing new details about the lives of early human species, and we are joined now by Wall Street Journal science writer Robert Lee Hotz. Welcome to our show.
It's a pleasure to be talking to you.
How can DNA samples remain intact for more than 300,000 years? I would think biological materials like that would have degraded a long, long time ago.
Well, you and everyone else involved in this field, this is an important story for a couple of reasons, and certainly one of the main ones is that it is a technological tour de force. They were able to take advantage of some advances in the actual mechanics of gene sequencers themselves. They also have refined the algorithms, the formulas they use by which you can sort different DNA sequences, and they came up actually with a very clever way of codifying the signature of decaying DNA and used that as a way of separating out all of the considerable modern contamination in these samples from the older sequences. And lastly, but perhaps most importantly, the place where these bones were found is a cave shaft in the mountains of northern Spain. And it may be the perfect refrigerator for preserving biological molecules. And so these DNA sequences that they were working with are, I mean, I think the previous record, if that's the right word, it's about 100,000 years old. So these go back to 300,000, maybe 400,000 years ago. It's quite a feat. The experts in the field that I talked to, however, felt that the work was credible. There have been a lot of missteps in the world of reconstructing ancient DNA. I mean, the Jurassic Park scenarios are all familiar to us, of course. And while those are fantasies that involve DNA of such incredible antiquity, it'll never happen. This seems to be one that they've pulled off.
And they found it marrow inside the bone. Is that where they extracted this material from?
Actually, no. As I understand it, what they were able to do, these bones were highly fragmented, broken up, and kind of in the mud at the bottom of this shaft. It's about, maybe 1,000 feet in from the entrance to the cave. And then the shaft itself, which the locals all call the pit of the bones, is about 30 feet deep. And it's very wet, muddy down there. So a lot of the I guess, obvious organic material and marrow, as you say, would be the obvious one. That's gone. But they were able, with the dental drill, actually, were able to kind of dig into the bone far enough to get what they've considered pristine material. And all told, they were able to get about 2 grams worth of cells to work with.
Mitochondrial DNA?
Yes, sir. Yes. And in fact, actually, it's the key to this whole thing. In a way, you can think of this as a prehistoric maternity test. The DNA they did extract was very fragmented, very broken down, right at the edge of being, I guess, biochemical gibberish. And we all have in every one of our cells these special little cell structures called mitochondria, and they actually help produce the energy that they have their own separate genome, their own separate heredity that's passed. Unlike the normal DNA in the center of our cells, the mitochondrial DNA only comes from the mother, and it's passed intact, unchanged, to all of our children. And this goes down generation after generation after generation. Because the genome is so simple, they were able to kind of rebuild it. And what they found when they started analyzing this was they had expected to find something that looked, I suppose, kind of Neanderthal-like based
because
on the evidence of all these bones.
The bones look Neanderthal?
Yes. Now, they've never really settled on a species. They're human. I mean, in the broadest possible sense, they belong to the genus Homo. They were of a vintage 400,000 years old, 300,000 years old, when Neanderthals were known to be in Europe, as were the precursors of anatomically modern human beings like us, but also hints of other folks floating around. And just 2 years ago, scientists discovered, again through genetic analysis, a early human species they call the Denisovans, that they came out of the blue. Apparently, they were widespread through Asia, and in fact, there are traces of their DNA today in some Pacific island populations, just as among all modern non-African peoples, certainly like me and others, you, we all carry a bit of Neanderthal DNA in ourselves. I mean, so they found a bit of this Denisovan-like maternal DNA in this sample. And now,
that came as a surprise because they thought the Denisovans were in Asia. The ones they found earlier were in Siberia, and then the Neanderthals were in Europe, Western Europe.
That is the beginning of the surprises. I mean, I've been writing about evolutionary biology and human evolution for a long time, and I've rarely seen a finding that caught so many experts off guard and left them so confused about what to make of it. There are at least four, maybe five different theories that experts have come up with to try to account for this finding. It's basically like having a family reunion and a long-lost cousin you've never met suddenly shows up and starts introducing himself. I mean, it really just throws all of these relationships between emerging human species at about the time when, you know, our most direct ancestors were taking form. It throws them all up for grabs. Nobody really knows if these people were ancestors. Were they ancestors of whom? Maybe they were contemporary. Maybe they're a real species. Maybe they're not. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And what's fascinating is it's an example of how these days, because scientists like those at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Germany who did this work are able to recover such old genetic material, they're revealing hidden relationships, hidden family relationships that you can't tell simply by looking at bones. I mean, they're sort of opening the closet door into a whole bunch of things. And this broadly suggests that interbreeding was a much bigger factor in the evolution of human species. And as we can see in the genome that persists with us today, in the evolution of Homo sapiens sapiens, which is our taxonomic group. I mean, we still carry the genetic imprint of these family relationships, known and unknown, that date back to the Ice Age.
Well, we know that now, although it was debated for years, that there was interbreeding with Neanderthals, but we're going to start looking for Denisovan mitochondria in Western Europeans as well?
Well, it's a good question, and I feel confident that somebody is going to go out and try this if they can get funding. But it also suggests that, you know, there may be two or three species that were extant in Europe or in Central Asia at this period that we still have no direct evidence of, because there are these phantom traces of other people in Denisovans themselves. It's very murky and kind of fascinating. I mean, there's a sort of an Ice Age soap opera here that we're just seeing hints of.
Well, when we know more, will you come back and talk with us on the show?
I'd be delighted.
Wall Street Journal science writer Robert Lee Hotz, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.